Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So, Tony Khan's enthusiasm is mocked in certain circles, but the man is a professional wrestling promoter. And while he might overdo it at times, he's not exactly gone out there and said, "Hey, here's some guy that some of you like, but I'm not so keen on, quite frankly," which is unfortunately how Vince McMahon debuted virtually every NXT act for about 5 years. These new stars are part of a cycle to get you to watch new acts, new faces, new moves. But sometimes it does come across as a little desperate, especially in the WWE. So let's have a chat about them. As I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are the 10 most desperate ways WWE got you to watch. Number 10, NXT 2.0 is basically pornography. So NXT 2.0 is incredible in its transparent bid for attention. The NXT 2.0 viewer is lured into a product ran by unseemly old men under the tacit promise that you might one day see two of the members on the roster have it off with each other. Seriously, this is a romantic comedy masquerading as a pro wrestling show, and the main hook involves several will-they-won't-they-have-it-off storylines. Tune in on NXT 2.0 Live on the USA Network to find out. It's kinda like that. Now, it's worked for every successful three-camera sitcom since the dawn of time, so why not NXT 2.0? Well, it's not a three-camera sitcom, nor is it successful. It might as well read, "Sex, now that we have your attention, here's some green wrestlers getting lost inside 3 minutes," which isn't exactly a particularly popular promotional tactic. It's an incredibly horny production, no doubt. A desperately horny production, in fact. When the camera operator isn't trying to motorboat Mandy Rose, Duke Hudson is dry humping anything that moves. The gambit isn't succeeding, but they're going to do it anyway. And the latest reach for the 18 to 49 male demographic comes in the form of Nikita Lyons, whose vignettes were literally filmed from the Andre the Giant angle to capture the full weight of her, well, let's just call them assets, and whose signature pin involves performing the splits in front of a hard cam that zones in on her very arse. They want you to clap those cheeks louder than a Carnegie Hall encore, and by God, that is how they'll get you to watch. Number 9. NXT counter-programs AEW. I don't think we drove WCW out of business. That was certainly never our intent. That was the mindset of Ted Turner and WCW, not WWE. See, if you spend all your energy trying to kill the other guy, your product suffers. If you don't kill the other guy, he's going to come back at you. And when he comes back, you won't have done anything to make your house better. It's no different than being in a fight. And if the other guy keeps hitting you, that son of a bitch is going to wear himself out pretty fast. Those are the words from Vincent Kennedy McMahon. But you know what? That son of a bitch NXT wore itself out pretty fast when, with total hypocrisy, WWE counter-programmed AEW with the Wednesday Night War. It was the mindset of WWE to throttle AEW before it even began. NXT kept hitting and hitting AEW with an onslaught of weapons, commercial-free openers that could have headlined a takeover, main roster cameos, ladder matches leading to cage matches, a two-week head start. But NXT did little to make its house better. Tommaso Ciampa's pursuit of Goldie only led to the reboot of an overdone program that, let's be honest, peaked in 2018. And all the while, the various you-must-watch measures made the show feel kind of cheap, grabby, and all too eager to impress. Number 8. Apologizing for being kind of sh**. it. So this is the last refuge of a scoundrel. Now, WWE's perception was in the gutter in the latter part of 2018. SmackDown was a disaster of doppelgangers. Raw had been dominated by Constable Corbin's abysmal, oppressive take on a trope that had long since eaten itself. And ratings reflected the dirge to such an extent that WWE felt that they had no other option but to actually acknowledge how shitty everything had become. Now, they could have quietly got on with the business of developing new stars consistently and with long-term conviction, but that was a little too much like hard work. So instead, we got an infamous moment of fake self-awareness in that the McMahon clan descended on December 18th and took us to the ring and outright said, "We haven't been doing a very good job for you lately." Before then completely undoing all of this by saying, "Oh, not us in the ring, you understand. We're the absolute best. We're talking about that arsehole Corbin. It's his fault. Boo, boo him." Corbin was the scapegoat here, who was then positioned in the main event slot the very next week in a match that WWE ran back on pay-per-view in 2019. Yeah, that'll fix it. This was WWE literally pulling the toddler trick of, "I'll be better," before not doing a thing to improve their behavior because they were only interested in getting out of trouble. Number 7, shut up, here's some NXT guys. In a development loaded with irony, given the discourse surrounding a certain promotion's method of debuting new talent, WWE in 2019 debuted 4 talents at once on the main roster. Vince McMahon's promise of change failed to materialize, and fans didn't connect with the last round of NXT talents that were called up to brush paint on rust. EC3, Lars Sullivan, Lacey Evans, Heavy Machinery, and Nikki Cross barely even debuted. EC3 didn't talk, Lacey Evans didn't wrestle, and you can't remember a single thing that the other 3 bloody acts did, let's be honest. Ricochet, Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa followed mere weeks later. Balls deep into WrestleMania season, i.e. when you are theoretically meant to care the most about the existing roster as they entered the season finale of WWE programming. The tacit implication was some self-own. WWE, with unashamed desperation, all but said, "You're bored as f*** of everyone else because we can't book, so here are some new faces, leave us alone." Ricochet was a man who did flips. Aleister Black, in the words of Michael Cole via Vince McMahon, was moody. Ciampa and Gargano, meanwhile, despite being involved in a blood feud, were brought up as kind of like hashtag DIY. And yes, Ciampa looked at Gargano funny, and he did the same thing when invading SmackDown alongside Adam Cole, but looking at an opponent with one eye doesn't really count as continuity. It's no wonder he was mentored by Shawn Michaels. Number 6, we promise you a finish. At Hell in a Cell 2019, the titular main event between Seth Rollins and The Fiend was thrown out because Rollins attempted to use a hammer that was less comically oversized than the mallet The Fiend had attempted to wield earlier in that match. It was a career-killing debacle so disastrous that it killed 2 careers and any semblance that remained of the stipulation's mystique. Fans chanted AEW in protest, everybody buried it, and WWE ran it back because that's just what they do. They run back everything. Now, every major match should have a finish. This should be the implication of every major match, in fact. It is completely, utterly backwards that several major WWE matches didn't end in a conclusive and satisfying way. A wrestling promotion should not have to advertise that the thing they're asking the audience to invest in is worth the investment. WWE had to do this at Crown Jewel because investment in the product had been annihilated. The match graphic doubled as a promise. Across it, the words "can't be stopped for any reason" were plastered. This was a euphemism for "we're not gonna screw you over this time, soz about that." Like, imagine a major Hollywood studio resorting to this. "This film has an ending." Doesn't really sell it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Does it. Number 5. 2 out of 3 falls matches galore. Remember when WWE inexplicably turned into a Lucha Libre promotion, only without any of the excitement? Now, 2019 was an even more batshit insane year than 2020. Vince McMahon lost the plot entirely. When he wasn't debuting 2 years' worth of NXT talents in 2 months, he was introducing a wildcard rule for which he didn't actually know the rules, and booking the man he blamed for terrible ratings in the main event of pay-per-views. The most desperate measure yet saw him work around those damned commercial breaks. Now, they're the real problem. WWE did everything possible to maintain viewers with compelling, expressive content, but those bloody adverts clearly ruined everything. To circumvent this viewership drop-off, WWE very briefly introduced Lucha Libre rules by promoting almost every other match under a 2 out of 3 falls stipulation. That way, you wouldn't miss a captivating second of Baron Corbin working a chin lock. Whoa! Instead, you'd see that when WWE returned from words from its sponsors. It was contrived, but also perversely amusing. The idea that Vince had stumbled onto some masterstroke that had eluded him for decades, that he had experienced the eureka moment of all eureka moments, his highest creative accomplishment, at the exact same time that he'd forgotten how to count to 3. Number 4. McMahon's Million Dollar Mania. Right, so we're struggling to create new stars, and developmental is in a shambles. There's no new John Cena's or Batista's in a pipeline that's blocked by Big Johnny Laurinaitis and his bumbling incompetence. Any new stars that do seem to have connected with the audience don't look like they're going to be juiced to the gills, which is a practice that we've recently banned, so their push won't last. Hell, one of the guys on the roster at the moment outright says that they won't take anything, and it's a shoot! What a perfect poster boy for this brave new PG era! But then again, apparently this CM Punk fella looks a bit too much like he isn't on anything, and while ideal for the latest promotional strategy, it's not one we're actually after, so let's put him in the mid-card, even though we've actually just strapped him up. Well, fuck it, it's only the WCW one. Look, I know, the whole thing is obviously an inscrutable mess, but stop whining, how about we just pay you to watch the fucking thing instead? And scene. That was the express purpose behind the McMahon Million Dollar Mania disaster of the summer of 2008. Here, WWE attempted to get you to watch by giving away real money, a not exactly eye-watering amount at the time, undermining the entire point, and Vince couldn't even work the blower 14 years ago. An anti-spectacle and a monumental self-own, it made WWE look pitiful. Number 3. The Promise of Mutilation. WWE got very desperate throughout the early and rather raw phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. Before the introduction of the Thunderdome that made WWE feel like a spectacle again, albeit in a rather eerie and relative way, the promotion was not in rude health. Ratings had plummeted to an alarming extent. WWE posted record lows by the week. The shows were abysmal, more than usual, in fact. Performance Center no marks were inexplicably made regulars when the real regulars suddenly disappeared. Apollo Crews went 27 minutes with Aleister Black. The atmosphere was utterly bleak and bereft of star power. It was a drab, depressing scene, and WWE recognized this. So they proceeded to go full bore into insane bollocks as the shows descended into cinematic farce. Anything wrestling related was a hollow facsimile, so WWE attempted to grab your attention by embracing body horror at Extreme Rules. And WWE being WWE, they were utterly abysmal at it. Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins was sold on the idea that you were guaranteed to see a man emerge from the match permanently disfigured. Mysterio's eye was removed when Rollins forcibly pressed it against a blunt surface, and WWE couldn't even be desperate and shitty correctly, as further illustrated by the prop. Mysterio's extracted eye was a cue ball painted pink on one side. Number 2. The Greatest Wrestling Match Ever. Now, Tony Khan gets a lot of flack for his apparently huge announcements, as if he shouldn't be promoting his shows in the capacity as a pro wrestling promoter. But much like there's always a tweet, there's always some WWE equivalent that makes the whole tribalism thing a monumental self-own. Tony Khan might have referred to Jon Moxley versus Jake Hager as the best empty arena match ever, but he wasn't mad enough to say a match held in front of no paying fans was literally going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. No rare genre-specific caveat, just the greatest wrestling match ever. ever. As some astute, cynical sleuths gathered, this move, in addition to selling a pay-per-view, likely removed various NJPW candidates from Google searches. No longer to the casual observer was Okada vs. Omega for the best match ever. Google and WWE's savvy manipulation of it saw to that. The match, of course, wasn't the greatest match ever, though it was pretty excellent. Masterfully crafted with an intensity that wasn't overwrought, and the intimate tone was perfect for the imperfect environment. But come on, the greatest wrestling match ever? That's pretty pathetic. And number one, hot lesbian action. Once more for those in the back, there was no such thing as the ruthless aggression era. It is a made-up thing. Vince said that phrase for about a week as WWE continued to operate under the same format and in the same tone as the Attitude Era. Fed programming was still a cheap, tawdry, and unsophisticated attempt to appeal to adolescent males. It was in poorer taste and even hornier than the events of 1998. In 1998, at least Sable was presented as a character you could kind of get behind. She was put down by her overbearing husband. There was a purpose to that character, even if she did exist to give Jerry Lawler an erection. In contrast, hot lesbian action was a far more naked ratings grab. This was the purpose of a segment conceived by Eric Bischoff in Storylines as a publicity stunt, but they said the quiet part loud. This is basically what he said. The invasion disappointed many of you, but cheer up, we've hired two women to lick each other. They even created a special logo for it and everything in which two women-shaped silhouettes are rubbing their asses together. What's gonna happen next? Well, tune in on Spike. This is Gross Anti-Wrestling, then, now, forever.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.